Hello and welcome to the Raising Men Show, and I'm your host, Craig Carlisle. Happy New Year, everyone. It's a great opportunity to be on air with you. I was blessed to be on air Christmas Day, and now here we are back, New Year's Day. Oh man, God is amazing. We really think about what He's doing in our lives, and it really makes me happy in really looking at where we are and how we are. And shout out to all of those who are listening to us on WKBY 1080 AM out of Chatham, Virginia, or listening to us on streaming on WKBY1080.net. Well, even if you're listening to us on any of our streaming channels, which is The Raising Men Show on iTunes, Spotify, or even TheRaisingMenShow.com off of Podbean, however, or from wherever you're listening to, I thank you. Appreciate you for tuning in. Today's topic is to take joy into the new year. It's 2019. For a lot of us, we really weren't sure we were really done with 2018. I know a lot of us, if you were like me, I was definitely glad to see 2018 go. Ah, I was so done with that. That is so last year. I didn't want to carry any of that madness over, any of the negative madness over into 2019. I need to leave all of that stuff behind. And you need to also, none of that stuff that's negative is worth bringing into the new year. None of it's worth bringing it into the new reality. And this is a new year. It's a fresh place to start. And I know so many of us have, you know, spent time doing, you know, New Year's resolutions and making plans and making our lists of things to do. And in some cases, we may be making that list and checking it twice. Now, I understand, you know, Christmas is gone and, you know, that's not a New Year's-y thing. But from a standpoint of resolutions and tasks and to lose weight, because I know if you're anything like me, those holiday meals were some special. Let me tell you, I just made a couple of cakes myself, made a pineapple upside down cake, or we had to call it an earthquake cake because it took it out of the mold just a little bit too soon. I should have let it cool a lot more, and when I took it out, it broke. So it looked like we had an earthquake on that one, but it was a great cake. It was pretty outstanding. But I know I've had quite a bit of the wrong foods to eat. So I wanted to make a point for myself to eat better going back into the first of the year. I could get back on it and started with a great meal. You know, I made dinner for the kids last night and, you know, we had a, you know, steak. We had some asparagus and we had, what else we had? Oh, we had some different colored potatoes. I've seen these kind of potatoes before, like in stores or restaurants, but I've never cooked them myself. But I know they were healthy for us. It's better than the fast food. It's better than a lot of fried and stuff with a lot of preservatives in it. I wanted to make sure I get back to cooking a lot more. And so we had spent a lot of time a few months ago, you know, eating poorly. And it took a toll on my body. I tell you, when Taylor sees me in the gym, he's not going to be very happy. I could already tell you, Taylor, I'm not even happy. I know I picked up a few pounds I had lost and gave back some gains I had given, but you know what? I'm going to get it back. That's a part of what my goal is, part of my resolution for the year, part of the things that I want going into 2019. I want the positive things. I don't want to have to worry about what I did wrong in 19, what I didn't do enough of, what I should have done. And I want to stop worrying about who frustrated me or what happened to me last year, what happened to us last year. Did I eat too much? Did I gain too much weight? Am I unattractive? And did I not cut my hair right? Or did I get a new fancy haircut? Or, you know, did someone hurt my feelings? Did someone break my heart? You know, are we still unhappy because we didn't receive the apology that we wanted, the way we wanted it, from who we wanted it from? We have to take a moment and look at the negative things from any year gone by. Because some of us are still dragging around stuff from childhood. I can speak on it because I've done it. I'm not doing it anymore, but I've done it. There's this graphic I'm going to go find. I had put it up on social media probably a year or so ago where it's a picture of this guy, little tiny little guy. He's got all this baggage on his back, all this luggage, all this garbage. It's just weighing him down, whether it be... And I thought that was a pretty great analogy because I took that as being all of the things that emotionally, mentally, and physically weigh me down that I'm carrying with me every day. It could be something that somebody said about me, something that I said about me, something that I feel some kind of way, or someone broke my heart, my wife died, my mom died, my dad died, my dog died, cat died, everybody died. all that stuff that may have happened, it's going to be a part of us, yes, but we can't let it define us. We got to let all that junk go. I get it. I've had tough relationships. I've had tough friendships. I've had tough marriage. I've had tough. But we don't have to have tough all the time. We don't have to keep expecting it to be tough all the time. We need to be able to speak to that baggage and leave it behind. We need to speak to our troubles and those feelings that we have and tell them to go, that you have no place in my life anymore, that you need to be bound up and take your hands off me, and those spirits that are trying to control me and make me do what they want me to do and not what I want to do, all of those spirits, you need to be gone and cast you to the foot of Jesus for further instructions. I look at James 1, verses 2 and 3, and I like to try to read that scripture, and I want it to give me joy. I want it to give me peace. I want it to make me excited. So as we read it, going from the New International Version, it says, consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. Okay, I'm going to be real with you. I don't like the scripture. I don't. To be completely transparent, I think it sucks. And I say it that way, not because I'm trying to be, you know, blaspheme the Bible. I'm not trying to take verses out of context. I'm not trying to be, you know, I just actually not to be super spiritual either. I don't like when a scripture says, consider it pure joy when I face trials of many kinds, because I don't want to face any trials. I don't know about you, but I think there's so many times where I think I've got enough trials. Lord, that's enough. I can use a few or a whole lot less trial, a lot more joy, a lot more laughter, a lot more fun. I really could use a whole lot more of the good things in life, but it's just too bad. This scripture says, consider it pure joy. And even the pure part, that means that it's not any part of any made-up circumstance. There's no playing around with it. There's no fake. There's no additives. There's no preservatives. Pure joy. I mean, excitement. Joy. I mean, this. I even have the definition of joy. Coming to it too soon. But joy is a noun in this case here. It means the emotion of great delight or happiness caused by something exceptionally good or satisfying. Now, I don't know what is purely exceptional or satisfying with you receive trials. It's when you flip it around, there is joy in every trial. I have to be reminded that even that scripture justifies scripture. John 16:33 reminds me, I've told you these things that in me you might have peace. In this world you will have trouble. But take heart, I have overcome the world. So this is Jesus telling the disciples and everyone else that was around him at that time who would listen, that, hey, in me, meaning those who followed after Christ, those who are trying to live a good life, those who are trying to be better, you're going to have trouble. But take heart here, joy, have peace, because I've overcome the world. And I get it from that standpoint of scripture. He's talking about he's going to die and he's going to go, you know, be with God, and the Holy Spirit is going to be released, and anything that the world was doing to him or for him or against him was being overcome, because he, through his death, he was coming as a ransom to save all of us. So we had that opportunity to have joy, because we weren't going to hell. Because before Jesus came and died, we were all going to hell. We were destined to hell because there was nothing else for us there. That we had no other, how do you say, payment? So Jesus came as the perfect payment, the perfect ransom for our sins. So yeah, Jesus had to come. So the joy even there is that Jesus came and he died for us in exchange for wiping out all of our sins, period. Now, some of us still pick up some sins on our own. We still try to do some things that we really want to do. And, you know, and the Lord does speak to that as well, that if we continue to do what we want to do, the way we want to do it, he'll turn us over to ourselves. Or the scripture says, a reprobate mind. This means a mind that's focused on ourselves and doing what we will, using our free will to do what we want. I found that when I continued to wrestle with both of these scriptures. Okay, because I don't want to have trouble. Again, I don't know if you're anything like me, but sometimes I feel like I'm too good for trouble. And a song used to say, I'm too sexy for myself. Lord, I'm too sexy for some trouble. I'm tired of trouble. I don't need any more. And I wrestled with it. And I was frustrated with it. And by it. And I was mad. And I was angry. And I never seemed to get past these two scriptures until I accepted the fact that Jesus was doing here what so often we don't do as people. We don't tell the truth. And we're not honest with ourselves. We're not honest with the other people we're dealing with. They're not setting healthy boundaries. Jesus was clear in both of these passages that we were considering it pure joy when we go through and face trials of many kinds, because testing of your faith produces perseverance. Going through the next chapter, it says, in me, you will have trouble. It's not like Jesus sold us a bill of goods. It's not like he tried to pull a okie doke on us and switch and change it. Saying, oh yeah, come and follow me and your life will be perfect. That's not what he said. He's giving us several scriptures, and there's other scriptures, trust. I'm only using these two, that remind us that we're gonna have trouble, but we're supposed to count it joy, be excited about it. Supposed to be excited about the prospect of being tested. When I finally just shook it off and said, all right, I give up. Fine. If that's the way it's going to be, I know you're telling me the truth. I know you're speaking truth to me. I know you're setting the proper expectation for me. Because I think that's a lot of what we go through. It's a lot of what I go through is that in life, we don't get a chance to hear the proper expectation with things and from things and for things because we're so busy trying to hear what we want to hear. Or if you're dealing with people who don't want to give you the proper expectation, you're always trying to guess and wonder and guess and wonder what they're thinking or what they're doing or what the process is instead of just make the plan, make it plain. What are we doing? What should I expect right here? Jesus is very clear in both of these passages. Consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, that whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. That was James 1, 2, and 3 again. And going back to John 16, 33, I have told you these things. And the funny thing is in this scripture in John 16, 33 is when Jesus said, I've told you these things, it's very clear here that he's already told the disciples for specifically that the same thing, that we're going to have trouble. So it wasn't like it was a surprise. He's reminding us over and over that we're going to have trouble. All right, we'll be right back after this break.
Hey, everyone. My name is Eric Tomlinson with the Tomlinson Group at Rancon Real Estate, where we design the sale of your home around you. With our nationwide network of agents, you and your family are at the center of every decision, conversation, and step of the journey to your next home. From hello to congratulations, selling your home with the Tomlinson Group at Rancon Real Estate is designed to both learn and surpass your expectations. Call me today at 951-970-6727 so we at the Tomlinson Group can begin surpassing your expectations today. We want to work for you.
Does your business need to rank higher on the Google search engine? Do you want everything that your company touches to turn to gold? If you've answered yes to either of those questions, you need to contact Bright Media House. Generating relevant customer leads is critical to increasing sales and growing your business. By figuring out which online sales and social media marketing channel to use and how to use them can be overwhelming, especially when you have a business to run. Digital marketing is something every business owner and marketing manager needs as a part of their strategy. For more information, go to www.brightmediahouse.com or email us at info@brightmediahouse.com. And welcome back to the Raising Men Show. And again, I'm your host, Craig Carlisle. And you're listening to us on WKBY 1080 AM out of Chatham, Virginia, or you may be streaming us on any one of a variety of streaming sources like WKBY1080.net or iTunes, Spotify, or even the RaisingMenShow.com. Again, I'm just happy to hear you, happy to be here with you on New Year's Day. Happy 2019. Today's topic, as I was dealing with in the first segment, was to take joy into the new year. So many things, and so often we spend a lot of time trying to make resolutions, make plans, ordering our own plans. Well, we need to just spend time letting God order our steps. Just that's period, the end. And a part of letting God order our steps is just yielding our mind to the Word of God. That's just plain and simple. Set the proper expectation of what we should get from our lives. We went through in the first segment, James 1, verses 2 and 3, and John 16, 33. And in both of these scripture passages, Jesus is very clear in our expectation that he's trying to set for us, is that we are knowing we're going to have trouble and count it all joy. And not wrestling with that any longer will make your life so much easier, because we're not too good for trouble. We're not too cute, not too handsome, not too thin, not too fat, not too strong, not too weak for trouble. We're going to have it, period, the end. There's no other way around it. But in those troubled times, we become stronger. I don't want to think that I get stronger, but you just have to. I have to use the analogy of the gym. Because when I go to the gym, there's days, especially when I don't really want to go to the gym, there's so many days when I just don't feel like moving that iron. I don't feel like walking on the treadmill. I don't feel like lifting any weights. I don't feel like stretching. But the more I sit and don't do it, the flabbier and weaker my body gets. There's more opportunity for other oddities in your body to take over, arthritis, you name it. Just for your body as it becomes more and more sedentary. Or you sit around too much. How about that? The more and more you work out, whether you work out 4 days a week or 3 days a week, your body gets stronger. And after each week that passes, you should be able to lift a little bit more, walk or run a little bit farther, even stretch a little farther. You should be able to reach those toes before too long. And I get it. Some of that stuff hurts. It does. It, trust me, it does. But when you start being consistent, it doesn't happen overnight that your body changes. It doesn't happen overnight that your lifestyle changes just by saying, oh, God, I give you my life and here we go. No, it's not going to happen that way. You're going to have trouble. Even when you do say that, God, you can have my life, and your troubles are going to continue. They're going to start to get real exciting right then, let me tell you. But when you're in the gym, especially, maybe it's week 4, or week 6, and you start to see the transformation in your body, and you start to realize, wait a minute, I'm thinner than I was before. Able to lift more weights than I was before. Able to walk a little farther, a little faster than I was before. That's when the whole thought of becoming stronger because of our perseverance, staying in the Word of God, seeking after Him, yielding to His Word, and through the proper expectation that He set with for our lives, we get stronger in dealing with difficult people, difficult situations. Situations where it's not pleasant at all. Kids get on our nerves. Spouses get on our nerves. Loved ones, friends, family, you name it, get on your nerves. But if we stay in the Word of God, I understand that those are some of the troubles that we were going to have in this life. Because the scripture doesn't say where our troubles were going to come from. It just says you're going to have trouble. Okay? But as we stay diligent, counting it all joy, it's going to produce perseverance. You're going to be able to deal with more things. You're going to be able to deal with it better. Case in point for me, not outside of the gym philosophy, the more and more I stay in the Word, the more and more, especially prepping for the shows on Tuesday and on Saturdays, I'm able to then, when I'm dealing with a difficult person, the scripture comes out. And I'm able to not be as quick-tongued as I want to be, biting back to them the way they may be biting at me. Or if my kids are driving me crazy, I don't have to be so tonguey with them and make them feel bad because they're making me feel some kind of way. The Lord is very clear. If you're listening for Him, if you're looking for Him, if you're trying to seek after Him, He's going to speak so very clear to you, to each of us, so that it's the right way. And I get it. 2018, 2017, 2016, 2015, you go back as far as you want to go back. Even if it was 19 or 18 something, if it was 18 something, you listen to this program, God bless you. But when you go back and look at time, what are you carrying around, some hurt that someone did to you? It's heavy. And that analogy I was using, I didn't clear it up before. And I keep talk about the picture of the guy carrying this big, enormous pack of junk. It was just stuff. It was just this big, enormous pouch on his back. It was like 20 times as big as his body, a little tiny dude, big old bag. And this guy runs by him. He's only carrying like a piece of paper. And the guy was like, hey, come on, hurry up. So the guy that's running past him carrying a piece of paper was trying to tell the guy who was carrying on this big, humongous package or pack on his back to hurry up and come on. It was easier for that person or for us if we're not carrying around the baggage of emotional breakdowns and be light. The word says we can cast our cares on him being Jesus, because he cares for us. So if there's things that someone has done to us over the years, we can let that stuff go. The problem, I think, so often is that when I wanted to let it go, it became so familiar to me. It became so cool to hate that person. And yeah, I say at the H word. Yeah, I'm trying to free myself. You know, if I can't free myself, I can't help to free anybody else. So I'm telling you like it is. Until I stopped hating the people who were hurting me, resenting those people who were taking advantage of me, until I stopped being upset at those who upset me, I was frustrated to no end. I was depressed. I was angry. I was mad. I was not a nice person to be around, because I couldn't understand what I had done to provoke these people to treat me in such a way. And I have another friend that has a kind of a similar situation where they feel that people are always wronging them and it's always their fault for someone treating them some kind of way. I just knew that I hadn't done near the things to people that I'm getting either blamed for, treated for, or taken advantage for, or whatever. So I know in so many cases, it's not about us. It's about the situation that other people are in. And I think the truth of the matter is that people really don't care enough about us to set their whole life focus on us, so they can make our life a living hell. We're not that important. So let's get that off the board right now. We're not that important for the same people to be trying to torment and torture us. And the truth of the matter is, if you have become that important as the focus of someone's attention to try to do that to you, you need to be safe and get away from them. But the Lord's trying to tell you something even in that. There's joy in that as well. The joy is that the Lord's trying to remind you that you need to be healthy and safe and get away from that person. So let's talk about it. What's joyful about our situation? There's joy in every situation. And there's so many times where I know I myself thought, where's the joy in all that? What's good? My pastor John Hansen, he did a whole series on what was good or what's good in your life. And he really had to help me change my paradigm. And I had to go back to that. The Lord reminds me so often is that you have to go back and look at what's good in your life. Not everything that's going wrong in your life is coming to be wrong because you've done something. It's coming to help you persevere. It's coming to help you be reminded that you're going to have trouble. So what are we focused on? Are we focused solely on the spouse that's getting on our nerves? Or the one that left you for someone or something else? Is that what we're pissed off at? Even that situation has a joy, because if it had continued to progress, leaving you continually feeling misused and upset, the Lord has allowed that situation itself to be dissolved, where you're no longer feeling some kind of way. You can actually now have a fresh start, because maybe that spouse is on their way and they can torment the next person. It helps you when you start over again, like I'm looking for me to help start over again, for the Holy Spirit to show me what I'm supposed to do, and I can move in that direction to make a whole different set of choices. Instead of being upset at the person who made them against us or in our relationships, we just speak up. Set healthy boundaries. Speak the word of the Lord and not speak ourselves. Interesting. Are we upset at some child that won't act right? Maybe they've got trouble with drugs, or troubles at school, or hanging out with the wrong crowd. Okay, so where's the joy in that? Well, if that child is still living, and you're still living, then there's still a chance you can get some things right. If you train them up properly, now we've talked about the scripture before on the show, if you train up a child in the way they would go, when they are old, it says, they will not depart from it. It's not, the scripture does not say, right now, right away, they're going to turn because of pride. Oh, Lord Jesus, help my child. Help. No, it doesn't change overnight. It can, because the Lord can do anything he wants. But if that child or that person chooses not to change, chooses not to listen, at that moment, well, we have to persevere. Continue to pray. Pray without ceasing. Because if we've trained those children up properly, they'll eventually turn around. It may not be on our timeline. Trust me, I've got a son who's working, we're working through some issues with him with school. His grades are not what I want them to be. So it's easy for me to choose and get upset if I want to. But how does that make the situation better? How does that put more pressure on him and make him feel some kind of way about himself and make our relationship all jacked up? If I'm not helping him, if I'm not taking my responsibility in his failure to help him become better, where does he become better? Where's the good? Where's the training in all of that? Okay, so I'm supposed to be looking for the joy there. So the joy even in here is that we have an opportunity to work with our children, to pray for our children, to be consistent and persevere and stand in the gap for our children so the world doesn't just gobble them up, because the world wants to sift them like wheat, meaning the world wants to devour them. The world just wants them so much a part of what they're doing and so less a part of what we're doing that they want to make those kids, they want to destroy them. And I tell you, I've made some huge sacrifices in my life over the last probably 4 years to prevent that from happening for my kids. I've foregone employment. I've foregone opportunities. I've foregone a variety of things that would keep me out of the home, that would allow me to force my kids to then have to grow up by themselves. I don't want them to grow up by themselves. I don't want them to be alone any more than I minimally need them to be. I need to train them up properly, understanding that both their mother and their father cared and loved them. I have to say past tense for their mom, because their mom's gone. So present, progressive, future tense for me, I love them. And then I'll do whatever I can to fiercely protect them. And we need to do the same with our kids. Showing them the love and respect, not provoking them, because that's also what scripture says, parents should not provoke your children to wrath. Okay, so we're going into another break. We'll be right back. We're going to continue with this same topic of taking joy into the new year. We'll be right back.
Who you hire as your realtor matters. You need a realtor who looks out for your best interests and not their own. Marie Clark with Allison James Estates is a full-time realtor, specializing in helping first-time homebuyers in Temecula and the surrounding areas. She is also a ministry leader. Today, why don't you choose Marie Clark to buy or sell your next home? Please call 951-265-6259.
And welcome back to the Raising Men Show again. I'm your host, Craig Carlisle, and I hope you're having a great New Year's Day. And thank you again for tuning in and listening to us on however you may be listening to us right now over the airwaves of WKBY 1080 AM out of Chatham, Virginia, or you may be on any one of our streaming affiliates, whether it be WKBY1080.net or theraisingmenshow.com, or you may be listening to us on iTunes or Spotify, and soon we'll be on Amazon Prime, as a matter of fact. So we're excited about that. So we were just finishing up that last segment for the break, talking about if we are having a kid that may have been going the wrong way. And if we were training them, if we've trained them up in the right way, when they'll eventually turn. There's even grace for the parents of us who didn't train up our children properly. Because with there being grace there, there's still prayer. There's still grace the Lord can still change and choose to move in that situation and help that child turn and move upon their life, and the child eventually does come the way of the Lord. But we have to pray. Another thing, you know, are you in a tough relationship with friends or family? Okay, so the joy even here is very similar to the one we just talked about with our kids. If we're both still living, you know, and I struggled for a long time with people. So I lost my wife. When my wife and I got the diagnosis that she was sick, we were in a bad place. And people really look at me sideways when I say this to them. Because those who knew the both of us before marriage and during our marriage, the people used to tell, oh man, you have one of those fairy tale marriages. Oh my gosh. I wish I could have a marriage like yours. I said, bro, you better watch what you ask for. And I don't want to say that it was like that all the time. It was tough. We had some great times. I loved my wife fiercely. We struggled at times because we were so busy trying to be us instead of two becoming one, and we struggled with that. Those were speed bumps in our marriage that we dealt with almost every day. We had some great times. We had some tough times. But we have to understand that God is the only way. I struggle with married couples now. And again, I try my best to, I don't know why I'm even treading lightly on this one, because I ain't tread lightly on anything. So let's just be real. When my wife passed away, I couldn't go back and fix the areas in our life that we were struggling with. So all of those of you out there having relationship problems with your spouses, that you're being selfish about not speaking up, not trying to fix, avoiding them. I avoided issues because I wasn't a conflict type of guy. I avoided conflict like the plague. Now, it's no problem. I went back to the way I used to be before I got married. You want to fight? Hey, let's go. I'm not trying to provoke anyone, but I tell you what, you're not going to run over me. When I got married, I chose to live by the adage that I was trained in, happy life, happy wife. And that's such a lie. That's such a lie from the pit of hell. Having a happy wife has no bearing on me having a happy life. In fact, it's actually the converse, or the opposite is actually what's going to end up happening. Because if I make my wife happy at the expense of my own happiness, then I'm going to eventually resent my wife for being who she is, or for being who I encouraged her and trained her how to be. So all these guys, if guys, you're sitting around being negative and talking trash about your wife, you made her that way. You accepted her. You've been married for like 100 years. And you're mad because she still treats you like dirt? Well, you truck the dirt in from the beginning. I did the same thing in my marriage. I watched my mom and dad married a bazillion years before I got married. What I saw of their marriage when I started to pay attention was that they had already gotten their communication issues resolved. I didn't see what it took to get them there. I didn't see the times that they sat back having issues with each other, crying and upset, trying to make their marriage go. Maybe because I was much too young. I didn't get a chance to see those parts. But I know they existed. You don't get a chance to have perfect conversation, perfect relationships with anyone, married or not, friends or not, without a little rubbing, without a little issue, without some sparks going to fly. I didn't like sparks. I wanted to avoid that like the plague. But I didn't learn anything. My relationship suffered because I didn't want a conflict. There's a way to fight and there's a way to fight. You can have a conversation, a heated conversation with someone without having to yell and scream. But at the same time, there's a lot of things I learned in these social behavioral science classes and courses I should take at my former jobs and just courses in college and even online courses, is that you really have to meet people where they are. And there's joy in that as well. Because if you spend the time, invest the time, for one, figuring out who you know, you are, who we are as a person, and what makes us tick, what makes us angry, what makes us happy, sad, and the like, then we can teach someone else how to make us happy and how to make us laugh and what makes us sad and what makes us frustrated. But if we don't explain that and express that to the other person that we're dealing with, whether it doesn't have to be a spouse, it could be a business relationship, it could be sisters, brothers, it could be cousins, aunts, uncles, it could be children, because our children need to understand what makes, what sets us off too. I've got a son. I tell you what, that boy is quite a reader of people. He seems to know almost immediately what it takes to set somebody off. And he, if he wants to, he'll stomp in that same button and on and on and on and on till you blow up. And he seems to enjoy the blow up in a sick sort of way. But where's the joy in that? Well, the joy in that is that he's got discernment. He's able to read people. He's able to understand how a person is very quickly. As a parent, I've got to be able to take that child, take that ability, that gift he's been given, and help him shape and understand what needs to happen with that gift. The gift is not the gift that keeps on giving. That's a gift that can hurt people. So I need to help him, I need to train him up in a way that he understands that using that gift in a way that's positive is the only way to do it. Because if you do it any other way, it can be very, very damaging to the other person. Quickly, we need to go. The segment is ending. Let's get some more tools together. How about finding the joy in my personal favorite? Loved one who's died. If dad had left you here all alone, with the overwhelming task of living without them. Yeah, that's my personal favorite. But where's the joy even in this? The joy is that we're still alive. And you can look at that in a sick sort of way because, yeah, there's been times I've thought, oh, you know, I would love to switch places with my wife or join her. But what would that have done? If I had switched places with my wife right now, she'd be trying to raise five boys on her own, and those kids would be damaged in a different way than they're damaged with me. Those boys wouldn't have a father to teach them how to be men and a father. I had to hurry up and do my homework. I had to become a man quicker than I wanted to. You say, well, why weren't you a man? You were already 31, 30 plus when you had them. Going on, you were almost, 40 when she died, or maybe it was 40 and died. Yeah, it was 43. Okay, yeah. But still, in my mind, it was just another day. What would my kids do if I decided to check out? They become products of the state. What would I be training my children, my sons, if I decided to take my own life? If I decided not to stand up, if I just decided not to live? Here's an even better one for you who are listening. If I had decided to kill myself, here's even better. If I had decided to switch places with my wife, if that was even possible, you wouldn't even be listening to me today on the show. Because if my wife hadn't died, I would have had no reason to have done the show. But since she died, I had a reason to do this show because I wanted to encourage someone because I didn't have the encouragement that I was looking for, that I needed so desperately when my wife died. So, yeah, there's joy there. Because if you're listening to this show, that means it's not just by some random accident. It took a lot of things to happen. It took the death of several people, including my wife, then for me to finally get up off the deck and stop feeling sorry for myself, to look and push forward, to find that no one else in front of me had been doing the same thing, to provide an opportunity for single fathers who are raising sons to have something uplifting. I want to be that lighthouse out there for someone who can see, who's looking for something to see. But yeah, I get it. When we're hurting of various types of hurt, I don't want my kids to know that I'm a quitter. But at the same time, I need my kids to understand that it's okay to rest and get healing, to take some time out. Okay, so let's talk about that. Again, quickly, we're running out of time. Why is that important? Why is it important to heal after injury? So if you get your heart hurt or your mind hurt or your emotions hurt, it's okay to stop for a minute. I'm a huge basketball fan. Los Angeles Lakers is my team. So those of you know don't know, it's LeBron James has been, it's the Lakers doing well, the team's doing well, but he got hurt. The team's had various injuries over just this short season so far. Various players have had to sit out and various rosters had to been put in place to help this team continue to go. Meaning certain people had to come and stand alongside and assume the place of where a certain key player was for the moment so they could become healed enough to get back into the game. Because if we play as parents or caregivers, if we play hurt all the time for significant stretches, we're liable to be permanently damaged. Case in point for me, I used to always think that I could just push, and it's going to be good. I can just make the kids happy all the time, and let's go, as long as we get up every day and brush our teeth and comb our hair and take a shower, we're good. In fact, that's what I told my kids, unfortunately, is my coach-like pep talk when their mom first died. But that wasn't right. We needed some emotional healing time. We needed some counseling. 5 years later, we went and got some counseling. One of the best moves I ever could make, just to make sure I knew where we were, how we were, take some assessments of what we were and what we were becoming. We needed to become better. We needed to get some rest. I needed to understand that I need rest. I need more rest than I'm already getting. When you really look at your calendar, look at your schedule, what are you doing? I understand we all need to work. I understand we need to provide for our children. But at the same time, if we're not healthy physically, mentally, and emotionally, then we're going to be damaged. Even Superman had a weakness. Kryptonite. What's our kryptonite? We understand what it is in our life that makes us vulnerable. 1 Peter 5:8 says, be alert, sober-minded. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. He's looking for our weak spots. If you think about a lion, best analogy, and again, we're quickly running out of time, but a lion likes to find the weak members of the pack, the ones that are lagging behind, the ones that everyone else has forgotten, and prey on those first. You need to find the weak spots and protect them. You need to put some joy into 2019. Don't take the sorrow with you. Sorrow's been dragging us around for way too long. So let's do some things with 2019. Take some joy in there. Take these scriptures and put them to heart. Seek the Lord every day with all that you've got. We should all live as if it were the last time we would ever live. Live like it were the last time you'd ever live. Breathe like it's the last time you'd ever take a breath. Again, you've been listening to The Raise the Men Show, and I'm your host, Craig Carlisle. Man, I love this show. See you later.
This is Craig Carlisle, the host of The Raising Men Show, and I'm also an executive producer of the independent feature film, Restored Me.
I lost everything for something I didn't do. What type of God is going to watch a man get up on his feet and then kick him right back down and get dragged through the dirt again?
It's a powerful, feel-good dramedy that centers around a young man trying to restore his relationship with his young daughter and her mother.
Talk to him just like you're talking to me.
Where have you been, kid? These people take communion from me. I am their God.
This film speaks to restoring your faith and pushes a bold message of positivity and motivation. The cast includes Gary Owen, Bill Duke, William Lee, Matt Gerald, Richard T. Jones, Malik Yoboi, Yancey Arias, and Bo Casper Smart, just to name a few. Restored Me is available on over 100 digital markets, including iTunes, Amazon, and on demand from your local cable provider. Buy it, rent it. Either way, I'm asking you to watch it. It'll bless your life.
I'm back. This is Craig Carlisle, the host of the Raising Men Show, and I'm back Tuesdays 2 p.m. and 10 p.m. Eastern, 11 a.m. and 7 p.m. Pacific, right here on WKBY 1080 AM and WKBY1080.net. Tune in and we'll have real talk about real life.
Hey everyone, my name is Eric Tomlinson with the Tomlinson Group at Rancon Real Estate, where we design the sale of your home around you. With our nationwide network of agents, you and your family are at the center of every decision, conversation, and step of the journey to your next home. From hello to congratulations, selling your home with the Tomlinson Group at Rancon Real Estate is designed to both learn and surpass your expectations. Call me today at 951-970-6727 so we at the Tomlinson Group can begin surpassing your expectations today. We want to work for you.
How do you avoid pitfalls that will disrupt your life? My office is very good with helping families protecting assets, building wealth, college flexible plans, tax-free retirement, and so much more. I am Jontrice Wells with World Financial Group, licensed to help million-dollar families, businesses, and everyone in between. You can contact me at 951-757-4202 or email me at jw.nofamilyleftbehind@gmail.com. I'm about your family.